Hey, what is going on, everyone? This is Greg, your co-host of the Grilling the Gateway podcast. Welcome back. I'm glad you're here. This episode's awesome. We just got done talking about how we cooked our pig and 30 chickens for a private party that we did over the weekend. So, you know, we're going to dive right into it, and we're going to talk about how we did it, some of the equipment that we used, how we set it up. And then the outcome. So we're looking forward. I'm looking forward to sharing this one with you all. And then just another reminder, we got our annual backyard barbecue competition coming up September 4th at Explorium Brew Pub in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Go out to burnpitbbq.com to check out our website, and then just search for the barbecue competition, BBQ Comp. And you'll find more information there. But right now, registration is $125. You'll get four racks of baby back ribs. And I think 3 pounds of sausage to cook up. Now we're gonna have some guest judges. We're raising money for a nonprofit organization called Lift for the 22, which is a nonprofit that provides gym memberships to first responders, veterans, and their families. So yeah, we're gonna be out there again September 4th, and we'd love to see you out there compete with us and just have some fun and raise some money. So. Other than that, let's jump right in and dive right into this cook that we just did over the weekend of a whole hog and 30 whole chickens.
Oftentimes, life is demanding, stressful, and just won't stop. When needing to take a break, we like to light up the charcoal and crack open a cold one. The Grilling to Get Away podcast is an ongoing conversation about all things barbecue and grilling, from our backyard to yours. So if you sometimes don't know what the heck you're doing, if you like to learn, and if you don't take yourself too seriously, you're in the right spot.
Hey, what is going on, everyone? This is Greg, your co-host of the Grilling the Getaway podcast. I'm here with my buddy.
What's happening, everyone? This is Ben.
Ben, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic.
Good. I know. We spent a lot of time together this weekend.
Yeah, Greg. Just can't get enough of each other,
no.
Huh?
No. It'll be a busy next couple of weeks, too. So we'll, almost, yeah. We'll be together, working together more days than we are apart.
Wow.
What a great problem to have. Hope you're as excited as I am.
It's everything I've ever dreamed of, Ben.
Yeah. I like where your perspective is.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
No, we spent a lot of time over the weekend getting away. Sure I'm excited to talk about that. And we'll jump into that, because I think this might be a longer episode, because we've got a lot to go debrief from that.
Man. Yeah. What a great day, huh? So we were, I guess we'll dive into it, huh?
Yeah, let's jump in.
I don't think I really cooked anything else. I think my main focus was really just kind of getting into this event. Might have been burgers or something, simple. I don't even know, Greg. I don't remember. Nothing that stood out. Okay. So
no, this was the big thing.
This was definitely.
Why don't you set the scene for the audience, Ben?
Yeah. So, My second grade teacher reached out.
Your
to us.
Second grade teacher?
Sorry, my daughter. My okay, daughter's second say, grade teacher. It wasn't mine.
You're not the brightest crayon, but anyway.
Yeah, still working on getting out of there. So my daughter's second grade teacher reached out. She actually knew you first.
She did, yeah. I mean, I didn't know that until we pulled up, and she's like, "Hey, you, which one of you went to, you know, Hale High School?" I was like, "Oh, that was me."
Wasn't me, yeah. That's for sure.
No, yeah, it was a small world. I went to high school with her cousin. We actually hung out in like the same crowds and stuff, and I didn't know that till we rolled up.
Yeah. Well, worked out great. Luckily, you. Luckily, you weren't too big of a jerk back
then.
Yeah,
Ben's always asking, "Is that a good thing or a bad thing?"
Yeah, anybody asks me, like, they come up like, "Oh, do you know Greg?" I'm like, "Well, it depends. Does he owe you money?"
Right.
What am I jumping into here?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I always got your back. Don't worry.
Good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So she reached out to us. Her son was a senior this past year, just recently graduated, and asked if we would be willing to do a pig roast for his graduation party. And we got to talking, and you know, doing the pig roast, Greg, it's it only goes so far. So we ended up doing about 75-pound pig, and 30 chickens, and the kicker, 15 pounds of baked beans.
You love those baked beans.
You can never have enough.
You can never have enough. That's what I always say.
So yeah, we man, what a, it, again, it was a great day. temp was awesome outside. Like the weather was low 70s, nice breeze,
blue skies.
God, just
you couldn't ask for a better day.
No, seriously, it was perfect. So we got everything from the butcher block, which is right here, local to Oak Creek. And Greg, so I mean, they were literally one street up from the butcher block, and I didn't know that until we were heading to their house. And I was like, oh well, that would have been easier. But we ended up doing most of the cooking at my house, which was I think a lot easier. You know, we had all of our stuff there and just, you know, kind of helped us get ready, I guess, for the day, right? So
we're doing this pig roast.
Yeah.
There was a lot of prep that went into that. Like, you had a lot of conversations about, okay, how many people are there going to be?
Yeah, yeah. So they were expecting 150 to 200 people.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if it was quite that many, but I'm sure they probably touched 100. Give or take.
Well, I mean, we were only there until, you know, after, you know, dinner service. I'm sure people are still streaming in throughout the rest of the evening and night.
I'm sure. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Because they had, when we left, they still had quite a bit left.
And there were more people pulling in.
Yeah.
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 So,
a lot of high school kids coming through, which was cool. And hopefully they came with some appetite. So,
appetite for beans. So, as you were talking about, like, how to prep and, like, how much food to get. Did you go like a general rule of thumb? Did you talk with Doug over at the butcher block to say, hey, this is how many people we're expecting? What would you suggest? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So, again, I can't say enough great things about the people over at the butcher block between, you know, Doug, Denise, Crystal. I mean, they do have a fantastic staff.
That's Oak Creek, Wisconsin.
The butcher block. Check it out. I worked with Doug on it quite a bit. You know, because there's obviously a lot involved, Greg, with us starting to cook this pig at the house. We had to transport it over to their house.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we cooked all the chickens at their house. So
a lot of moving pieces on this one.
Yeah. So talking to Doug, he's like, well, if you just lay this down in the back of your truck, the skin's going to crack. Like it's, you know, so.
Yeah.
We had to figure out how to transport it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when we first started kind of talking, we were just going to do kind of the spits, right? So we had the last time, you know, a year ago when we did our pig roast and stuff. All it came in the, you know, the big like box almost, right? Like that was just the stand. And then you had the two arms that you put right up on top of that. And it just turned. And it was just one
rotisserie style spit. Yeah. It just that turned. Was it. It was just one.
And so
one rotisserie. This one was a little bigger though.
This one was, yeah. So like I said, when I first started talking to Doug, we were just gonna do that one, and then we were gonna same thing that we used the last time, but then we were gonna do a couple like ground spits, so just for the chickens.
Yeah.
And so we were gonna have like four of these big giant, you know, basically metal pans to cook these on and stuff. So luckily, I mean, it all worked out, right? But like we ended up, you know, I talked to Doug a lot more. We got a trailer. He's like, maybe this would be better, which it was.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was great, man.
So the setup of this trailer was it had three.
Almost like a triangle, right?
Rotisseries, yeah.
Yeah.
So it had one in the middle on top and then two lower ones towards kind of the base of the trailer. Yeah. So we could do everything on just this one trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could, you know, the way that we did it when we got to the house, the pig was, you know, cooked fairly well or kind of we were getting to that point. And we just had, you know, charcoal on both sides and then one strip right down the middle. So the heat was awesome. So
yeah. So big takeaway from that, at least from what I heard you say, Ben, was that ask a lot of questions. Like you have to walk through it with, you know, people that maybe have some more experience with, like, this was actually our first time. So we're not shy to say, like, we like to try stuff and do stuff. So this was our first time doing that many things at the same time.
And cooking for that many people.
And that many people, yeah. We typically don't do, you know, we've done some large scale stuff, but nothing like this.
Nothing like this, man. Yeah. No. No, I mean, you know, we've put together a few, you know, pulled porks together and done stuff like that. But yeah, nothing to this scale. And I think that's a great point, Greg. Like we, you know, you and I talked about it a lot. Like, okay, how are we going to do this? Like,
we've been planning this in like a couple months.
Now, yeah. I think we originally talked to them maybe February-ish. Mm-hmm. I think I set up a call with her, and we kind of went through it, and it was a lot of kind of back and forth, and really you and I talking, me talking to Doug, trying to make sure, like, okay, if we do this, how's that going to work? Do you think we could do it this way or this way? And even there were a few things too that came out like the morning of that just kind of made it better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we still didn't have everything planned.
So Ben, it kind of sounds like, at least from what I'm hearing is that, like, you asked a lot of questions. You thought a lot about this before we actually kind of went out there and did it. So what are kind of your biggest takeaways from, you know, going through the process of actually, you know, talking with Doug and you know, the people that we're cooking for? Kind of, you know, talk a little bit more about that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing was kind of having an idea of, you know, how many people we were going to have to cook for, right? Because it originally just started out with just the pig. And it quickly grew.
Okay, yeah.
You know, based on that. And they say with the pig, it's about, like a pound per person.
Okay.
And, you know, I asked Doug that. And, I mean, a pound of ham is a lot per
that
person.
Is,
and,
yeah.
But, again, you know, when you're shredding it all up and stuff, I guess it's not, it's, you know, if you load up those Sammies,
yeah,
the sandwiches,
yeah.
1 to 2. I mean, yeah, I could see that, Greg.
Sure.
But so yeah, that was kind of a big thing. I think too, it helped like having, you know, us think about anything that could go wrong, right? Like let's kind of back into this and stuff. Let's think about like, okay, well, what, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to transport this? How are we going to get this from A to B with us cooking it and starting it at the house and then getting it over there? And,
right. Like,
what happens if it's raining? What happens if it's, you know, how are we going to kind of navigate the things that are out of our control a bit, but like, let's be prepared for them.
Right.
So,
right.
So we had a lot, you and I just sat down and brainstormed a lot, like, okay, sides, are we going to do sides? Are we going to do, you know, what all do we want to provide and stuff? And really talking to them and, you know, making sure they were on board with everything. Like, hey, what does this sound good? This is kind of our thought process. Like, you know, how does that sound to you guys? And again, I mean, Greg, there are even things like, the morning of, like, getting that big giant box, you know, that we ended up putting the pig in.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't part of the plan.
That wasn't part of the plan.
That happened that morning.
And it worked perfect.
God, it was great. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about the, you know, transport.
Once like, we get to that point.
Yeah, there was a few things like that came out that morning that we hadn't even, you know, like, still were kind of working out, right?
So, yeah.
But I think that, we tried to kind of get everything to a point where, like, okay, you know, we're pretty confident in how we have it laid out.
Yeah.
There's going to be a few things that are just a game time decision.
They're going to pop up.
It just is what
happens.
It is. And we'll just
adjust.
You know what? Yeah. We'll make a pivot.
Yeah.
From
a
there.
Pivot. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think talking through those things really helps, especially ahead of time. You know, you always try and want to maybe back into it. So you start, okay, what is kind of the estimated time that they want to eat at? And then you try and back into it and stuff. And even that, like we had to be a little bit flexible on it. But yeah, I mean, for me, it really helps. Like I try and really visualize, okay, once we get done with this step, what's the next step? How am I going to carry these things from this to this point? You know, how are we going to transport this from this point? How are we going to cut up this piece? How are we going to serve it? So it really helps to kind of take a moment to visualize each step along the way to kind of, again, anticipate maybe some of those challenges that you might have or equipment that you might need.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Greg, it came even all the way down to like, I bought a new hitch for the truck.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I asked Doug, like when he mentioned they had the trailer, it's like, okay, well, what size the ball? What size ball do we need and stuff? And the adapter on my truck is smaller. So it's only like an inch instead of like your traditional like 2-inch. And so I had to buy like another like adapter for like when we bought our camper.
Yeah.
And that slides in and then that hitch slides into that. So when I got there, Doug was like, oh, you have to buy a hitch. I have balls here. And he's like, oh, but my adapter wouldn't fit in that.
Yeah.
So
see,
you know,
like,
it's just kind of these little things that, you know,
you're planning like, a barbecue, but you don't anticipate
until you get
needed,
there.
Yeah. Until, well, you don't anticipate you're going to need a hitch.
Right.
You know, so those are things like as you go through it, like you're only going to learn by going through that process.
Yeah, man.
And hopefully, you know, learning from us too, like by us going through that process and maybe making some mistakes. But
was there anything, Greg, that you thought like that we maybe didn't have that we should have had?
You mean in the prep or in the,
when we got there, like during
when
the
we
cook,
got there?
Yeah, when we got to their house and stuff.
Oh man. You know, if I could go back, I think one more table would have helped.
Sure.
You know, we had two tables out there. I think some better tablecloths because we had,
we didn't use tablecloths.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So better ones.
Yeah. And ones in general.
Yeah. And I think we'll talk about the, how we transport it once we get there. Like once we took it off the spit and put it on the table,
sure.
How we
did
that. Cause I think that might be helpful for people.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, maybe another set of gloves that, insulated so we can rip up, you know,
maybe
faster.
Better, yeah.
And then, you know, I really want, one of those big, I think we should have got maybe I'll have to pick one of these up here soon, but like one of those chopping, the big chop knives so I can start cutting just up. Because we have some really sharp knives that we were cutting through and some nice shears that were, you know, for the chickens. But I just think a larger kind of knife to chop.
A butcher knife.
To chop up some of that pig skin. Then some of that cheek fat and stuff like that, because people are just pulling that off and eating it. But, just to chop that up, you know, just a little bit. That would have been helpful.
Quicker. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that probably would have made it a little bit easier, especially the gloves. I think, you know, I swore it came with two.
That's okay. Yeah, we got some of those Oklahoma Joes that came with the insulators, but they only come with one pair of insulators in the box. So
it's a heads up on that.
Yeah. If you do that, they just come with one, but that's okay. We made it through.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. It was worked out, man. And they're nice gloves. They didn't, you know, they didn't pull apart. They didn't rip. They didn't, you know, they worked out great.
Yeah,
so highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what was the essential gear that we had that we're glad we had. So before, if you're thinking about doing a pig, here are some things that we would recommend that you have. You know, for me, coming off the top of my head right now, multiple chimneys, because we were doing rotisserie style where we had the cowboy charcoal, so we wanted to get that up to temp quicker. Mm-hmm. So as an open rotisserie spit. So we had to have multiple charcoal chimneys going.
I only had the one. But it was going. It was fine.
Yeah. But once we got there, you know, we had to get it back up real quick. Yeah, so real fast, we had three up and going.
And I think we started another one almost too. We dumped them out quickly, got another round going. Because, again, when we were doing, you know, it was a 6 foot? Yeah, it's about a six foot trailer. So we had long rows of charcoal that we wanted to light up and make sure it was even too, so just kind of distributing it out throughout the whole thing to get it all lit together. Doug did provide lighter fluid, which, you know, thank you, but like that's not really we don't really use that, and if you do, hey, that's totally your choice. We don't care, it's just not what we use. So
chimneys worked, you know, just fine as long as you give yourself enough time to get that heated up.
Yeah. So the chimney, I think too, Greg, another thing was like having the poker, right? The fire poker, like to move the coals around.
Right.
Man, it was hot.
Yeah. So having like a poker or a shovel or something to be able to navigate the coals to where you need them to go once they're actually down. And then along with that, like our other set of meat gloves, the ones that we use for heat.
Yeah.
You know, I have like my big welding gloves that I use to, you know, I can just, and the gloves go up to like my elbows, so I can just dive in there and pick up those coals and move them around to where I needed them. So that's definitely a lifesaver. So highly recommend, if you don't have those already for your kind of your regular barbecue and grilling, get some really good heat insulated gloves, so you can, you know, navigate the fire like that.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see, what was another lifesaver that we had? Spray bottles.
Spray bottle. You know,
we spritzed quite a bit.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah, available. We had two going.
Two going. And then the thermometers. So,
oh man, that was huge. Because
those are game changers for us. Because we didn't do it the last time we did a pig, and I felt just like being able to keep an eye on the internal temp. So we had just some old school meat thermometers where we stuck one into the ham or the butt. You know,
and down by the legs.
Down by the legs, and then one into the shoulder.
So your two meatiest parts.
So we could keep an eye on those temperatures, because those are probably the ones that are going to cook the longest.
Mm-hmm. We had another insereed one that we used for all the chickens.
Yep. So we, you know, just to make sure we were accurate. But just having those in and seeing that temp, like we were able then to spread out the coals to where we needed them.
Yeah.
You know, if we needed to add some more and heat this area up because it was lacking. But for the most part, we were able to keep both the shoulder and the rear around the same temp at the same time. So it worked out really, you know. And I know they have some wireless thermometers and stuff. We tried looking for some the day of, but we couldn't find any, but those worked well.
Again, last minute. Luckily, I mean, we found the ones that we did, and they worked out.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's a different style of cook, right? Because like Greg said, it's the rotisserie, so you're not closing a lid on this.
It's open air.
Yeah, you're not tracking, like, you don't have the thermometer right there, you know, on the top of the lid to keep track of what the temp is. So you're kind of, here's what it is.
Yeah. So Okay, let's get into the meat part of it, man. So you get to, you go, you pick it up, you bring it back to the house, because we don't have to be over to the family's house until 1:30 in the afternoon. But you picked it up early in the morning.
Yeah.
So you get it back home, you get it backed in, you get the charcoals lit. Now what are you doing?
Yeah, man. So I had to empty the truck out. And so I popped it. I got the trailer off the truck, cause I don't want to sit there and cook the,
right. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to end up cooking the truck too.
Sure.
So, you know, made sure that was, you know, I did make sure the trailer wasn't too heavy. I mean, I moved it by myself.
Light trailer. Yeah. Yeah.
So got it off and moved it, you know, so it wasn't super close to the house, not close to the garage, mm-hmm. not close to the truck, like, you know, making sure that,
yeah.
Nothing's gonna burn down, right? So that's safety first, right, Greg?
Sure, safety first.
Words to live by.
Yeah.
I kind of wasn't necessarily sure where the coals were gonna be for the pig, but I just kind of set up four different like areas.
Yeah.
Got the chimney rolling and got each one of those going. And then I pulled the box that Doug gave us to transport it was about 6 feet two, and it had three holes, so two in the top and then one in the bottom, just kind of like a triangle. So
yeah,
what we did with that was when we transported, we pulled the pig and we stuck it in those holes and like it held it, so it was mm-hmm. it wasn't touching anything, maybe against the side a bit, but that was perfect. It wasn't touching like the bottom of this box, so I had to get that box out first, and then mm-hmm. I got the pig on that, and then had to get it over and get it onto the spit.
Yeah.
So, and then from there, I kind of moved the coals in, got them where I wanted, which, you know, worked out great, because then I ended up lighting more of the coals that, that weren't unlit still. So, probably had the coals going for about a half hour. So really started the pig around 7:30 mm-hmm. In the morning. And it was a 75-pound pig, like I said. And all I used to spritz it was water. So since we were using that hardwood, obviously, it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
It cooks for a while, but I thought about doing apple juice and apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about doing kind of some dock soda in there too, like right away, but I really didn't want anything with sugar because it would burn the outside.
Right.
So, I just stuck with water.
Water.
Yep.
Keep it moist.
With water. Yeah. And then I did season the outside too.
Yeah.
So I would kind of spritz it and then just throw some fire for effect or sweet heat right on the outside there. So kind of hoping that it would kind of bake into there and get into the meat a bit.
Yeah.
No, I didn't inject it at all, Greg.
No injections. We kept it simple on this one.
Yep.
You definitely could inject it, you know.
Apple juice probably would have been fine.
Whatever type of mixture you want to do. But this one was really simple. We just seasoned the outside the skin. And then let the pig do its thing, is, you know, baste itself internally and get it, you know, it moist and all that flavor that's in there already.
And it had some great fat caps on it too. Yep. So I think that really helped keep the meat fairly moist in there.
Yep. So, you had that all going by the time I showed up. You know, I don't start working before 9 a.m. So.
Especially on a Saturday.
Yeah, especially on a Saturday. Oof. Overtime and a half. So I showed up and you had it all going already. You know, then we just kind of watched it.
We enjoyed a cigar.
Enjoyed a cigar together. Yep. Watched it. We were still doing prep work in our mind. Like, we were talking about, okay, how are we going to do this if this happens?
Uh-huh.
You know, we kept running through, you know, scenarios in our head.
And keeping track of temp too. Knowing, like, you know, we did some research. We watched a lot of videos on, even during that time too, like how to cut it.
Yeah.
Our goal was to get it to about 170, 175
right.
for the temp and stuff. You can obviously go hotter, but then you're going to have to kind of keep it a little bit lower and slower. But, you know, we had a time frame, right? So
mm-hmm.
it was like, we knew what time we needed to pick it up and leave and what time they kind of wanted to eat.
Yeah.
So if it was like just us doing the backyard, we could have been out
all
there
day.
Didn't matter, right?
Right.
But this one was a little bit different. So, we talked through it a lot. We had we smoked the beans. We
the
did
beans
those
there,
for
yeah.
2 hours too on my big drum smoker too. So
So we did some more prep for the food,
right? Which wasn't too bad, but mm-hmm. I mean, an added thing, an added step. It was kind of a lot of back and forth, getting up, mm-hmm. making sure spritzing, checking the temp, kind of feeling it, seeing if we needed to add coals, move coals.
How often do you think we added coals to the pig when we were first starting it up?
So when we first started, honestly, man, I think I did about not quite a full bag of charcoal in the mm-hmm. first hour.
Okay.
So you know, and as it cooked, we kind of, you know, we spread it out a little bit. We, you know, we let it not get like down there, but, right. You know, it stayed pretty even, I'd say, throughout. Sure. So the second hour, we didn't use, you know, quite as much. I'd say probably like in about an hour and a half is when we went through that whole second bag. Okay. So, I mean, again, they provided all these bags of charcoal. And I think in total, you know, we went through 7 total bags okay. throughout the whole day.
Nice.
But, you know, so yeah, so we gave 2 back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say like that first hour we kind of had it like hotter, and then just kind of like, again, we had to get it going though too.
Yeah,
right? And it was a little bit cooler at that time outside. So as it got a little bit warmer and stuff too, we maybe not quite as much, but mm-hmm. No, we went through total about 7 bags of charcoal. So.
Yeah. So we're spritzing it. We got the charcoal going. We got the thermometers in there. We're checking temp. We're just basically doing that until we're getting ready to pack up and leave to go over to the house.
Yeah, I've got the beans rolling. Those are interesting. We smoked those with hickory mm-hmm. wood chips. So nice light
mm-hmm.
smoke. And we poured like a bottle of pogey bait in there.
Sweet honey sauce.
Yeah, with a bunch of fire for effect. So sweet heat too. Mm. So man, it had such a great barbecue mm-mm-mm. smell to it. Oh, and with the smoke, like it was
fantastic.
Yeah, man, it was. I'll have to reach out and see how many beans were left. I'm curious.
Great. Yeah.
but no, so we did that. And really, I mean, we got up to temp, Greg. We got up to like 150
mm-hmm.
right before we wanted to leave and stuff. Yep. And I'd say like that was probably like the hardest part too, is after that, and then we wrapped it in tin foil.
Yep. We wanted to make sure that we kind of insulated it a little bit to keep some of that heat in as we were traveling. So it was a quick, it was only like 10 minutes
maybe away from. Not too bad. But it did drop. It dropped a bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You
know, which was expected because we didn't get it on there right away either.
Yeah, we had to get the coals up and running.
Get the chickens on too. And then the pigs. So,
yeah.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah. So we transport it. We put it back into that box. We mm-hmm. wrapped it up in some tin foil. We got it all packed up and ready to go. You know, we had to clean out the trailer because we didn't want ashes flying all over the place as we were driving there, right? So we cleaned it out. And then we drove over and we started setting up.
Mm. And that was another thing, because this was an electric, you know, the
electric,
spit. So we had to make sure we had plenty of
extension cords.
So we actually brought 2, luckily, because they wanted one that was a little bit longer so people weren't going to have to walk and step over it.
Right,
they didn't want a tripping hazard. So it worked out. But I forgot the adapter. So luckily they had one
and then I found another one on the trailer that I didn't know it was there. But yeah, no, it worked out. You know, we bought they had an adapter so we could hook it up. We had a long extension cord so it could go like over the tent where people were going to be eating so mm-hmm. they didn't have to walk, you know, around it or over it. So that worked out real well. We were set up right in front of the driveway. So as people were coming up, they could see the pig and the chickens.
How many people just walked up this is amazing. Look at all this.
It always attracts a crowd, Ben.
It sure does. Yeah. You know? It's definitely a big conversation piece, which was cool.
Yeah. So this was, I'd say probably the most challenging piece of, the cook was now we were going to get set up with the chickens mm-hmm. and the pig at the same time on the rotisserie. So, the plan going in was we were going to put the chickens on first on the bottom rotisseries, so the ones closest to the trailer, and then the pig was going to go up in the middle because mm-hmm. it had already been cooked quite a bit.
Right.
And all we wanted to do is kind of heat it up and make sure we kind of get to that temp that we were looking for.
Yeah, and with the chickens too, I mean, they were full size. They were big. They were good size, healthy
they
chickens.
They were whole chickens. They were. And the spit ran right through the middle.
Sure did. And there was 15 chickens on one spit. So you got a 6-foot spit. And 15 chickens on each side. And kind of the time that we allotted for that was, you know, they max 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Right. I think we've pulled majority of them after about 2, just over 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Just over 2. Yep. And this was kind of our first time doing that many. Yep. So
with the chickens, Greg, they say too, it's like a quarter of the chicken per person.
Okay.
So that was kind of how we figured, well, 30.
Yeah.
We'll do 30 then.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And so we didn't want to burn these right away. No. They were right down there.
Yeah.
And so we kind of, once we got the coals going, we we backed them up a little bit from the chickens, so they had a little chance to kind of feel it out.
Yep.
And I think maybe that took a little bit longer. You know, if we could go back and do that again, maybe we'd put the coals a little bit closer right away. If we were on a stricter timeline, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Greg, those things plumped up.
They were big birds.
When we pulled them, they were so juicy. They were, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we could have really cooked those much better, to be honest. We spritzed those too. We spritzed them with chicken broth, unsalted, and then we rubbed down with our pop smoke, so our Memphis style. Mm-hmm. We did it right there on the spit.
Right there on the spit.
Right there on the spit. So yeah, spritzed them first.
Yeah, nothing beforehand. We didn't season them before. We didn't let them sit at all. Like, once we got them on that spit, we sprayed them down with that chicken broth, and then we started rubbing them down with our Memphis style rub. And I mean, they just look great right away.
Yeah.
Nice color. And then we got them rolling and kind of basically just watched them from there.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let people come up, talk, ask questions, which was cool. People were asking all different kinds of things about, you know, can you eat that? Can you eat that? Like asking about the pig and, can they eat the tongue, the eyeballs, the hooves, the ears? Like, so yeah, we got a lot of good questions. It was interesting, Greg.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of great questions. Again, that's kind of what we like to do too. We like to, share our knowledge, you know, that we have with people. Like, obviously, we don't consider ourselves experts.
limited knowledge from time to time.
But we like to share what we know. And it's always a good time talking about barbecue, and you have a pig there, and, you know, it just naturally attracts people.
Heck yeah.
You stand around it. And you talk and you watch. It's got kind of a calming effect because it's just going around and around.
Yeah. Yeah, it just kept turning, right?
Like, yeah.
One of my neighbors stopped by when we were cooking. He was like, are you guys getting sick of watching that thing turn? I was like, nope. Sit here for another 8 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Put another pig on.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, then over the next few hours, we were just watching temp. We were spritzing. You know,
it was a lot more work with the chickens on.
Yeah, managing the coals. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you have 15 chickens on one side, not all of them are going to cook at the same temp at the same time. So we're constantly managing the fire, making sure that, you know, the ends we saw weren't cooking as well as it kind of in the middle. So we're managing the coals and moving stuff around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just like now we were in the process of managing the heat and making sure like we weren't going to be there all day to, you know, and all night cooking this stuff. So, you know, we cranked it up at the end a little bit to crisp up the skin. We pushed the coals in a little bit further in to crisp it up a little bit. But then we started pulling them. And I think
165. We went for
165.
We checked those temps quite, you know, pretty religiously.
Yeah. And not just one. I mean, we were going end, middle, the other end to make sure that we were kind of catching a good glimpse of what they were all looking at.
And the thing too, Greg, that, you know, is, like we said, it's not going to be perfect, right? Like, it's just kind of understanding, like, hey, just knowing, like, just because your middle's cooking, the end's not going to be cooking. So our middle pieces were done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we probably had about, I'd say, two end chickens on each side, maybe two or three on a couple on one side where we pulled them off. They weren't at temp. And so we set them aside and we took all the chickens that were done and, you know, started cutting those. But then we put those ones back on later and just put them right back up on the top rung because we ended up moving the pig down after we pulled those chickens.
Yeah.
Just to get that a little bit closer to heat. And then we put those chickens back on. So it's not going to be perfect, right? Like, you don't have to throw them away or don't try and serve them. Like, get out what you can. Take it off. And like, again, they were already on the spit. They weren't like tied to the spit. So we just slid them right back on.
Yeah. I mean, we had a little bit of flexibility because we knew that the amount of chickens were done would feed the people that were there.
At least get the party started,
the party started where we get these other ones up to temp. So So we got, you know, most of them were up to 165 and we're like, okay, let's pull these.
Yeah.
And then the next step was, okay, how are we going to pull these off this rotisserie and then start sliding them off? Right.
Yep.
So, Ben, you brought some cardboard.
We did, yeah.
So, if you picture, we had a table out there, which was 6 feet.
Just a folding table.
Traditional 6 foot folding table.
Picnic style folding table.
And we then needed a place to put these spits that we were taking off. Now, we didn't want to melt our plastic tables, and we didn't have anything that was going to cover the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So we improvised.
Sure did.
So Ben brought some cardboard with him, and we had some tinfoil. So we cut open that box that you brought.
Yeah, which ended up being about 6 feet.
It actually ended up almost covering the entire 6 feet.
Table.
Yep.
Yep.
And then we wrapped it in tinfoil. Mm-hmm. So that's what we took, and we put it on top of the table, and then we put the spits on top of that. And then we just started taking the chickens off.
Yeah, which honestly worked out perfect.
It did. It was great.
Saved us.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had the chickens. We took both the spits off with the chickens. Like Ben said, the ones at the ends probably weren't as cooked as the ones in the middle. So we took the ones at the ends. We set them aside. And then we took the ones we knew were done, and we started cutting them up. So the way we cut them up was we halved them. So mm-hmm. I just took the shears, and then I just cut out the backbone.
Man, those saved us, too.
Yeah, like, those shears were great.
And instead of, like, us doing a quarter, like, quartering the chicken, because kind of similar, like, well, even just think about, like, cutting up the wings that we did the last
the
event.
Comp,
like, yeah. Like, I mean, that took us a bit, right? So imagine, like, 30 chickens, like, I mean...
Yeah, so
and we were going to quarter them, and then it was like, hey, let's just have them. Like, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, they were so juicy and tender. Like, if somebody wanted to pull a quarter off, they could just pull it off.
It was right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they wanted just to grab a leg and walk by. Yeah. It would have just.
It would just fell off anyway. So I took the shears and I just cut the backbone out, and then I just cut the breastbone down the middle. And we just halved them up and threw them in the tin. And they were just so moist and juicy. Like I said, like you just pull it, you know, if you wanted to pull it, you could just pull whatever, how much you want, you know?
Yeah. We talked about doing a little bit of chicken broth down in the bottom just to help keep it moist. But like we ended up not even doing it. It didn't need it. So we pulled them. When we put them in the tin pan, we did about, six total in these tin pans?
Six total chickens.
Was it six?
No.
Six total halves. So then three chickens, total chickens. Yeah. And we just covered them.
Covered them.
And then put them out there for, if people wanted to start eating, they could.
So once we took the pig was probably done, but we wanted to crisp it up a little bit. Like the skin, we wanted to crisp up because you get that nice crispy skin. You can, serve as an appetizer while you're cutting the pig. So
I don't even know if we had to serve it. It's just people coming over.
It just looks so good.
Yeah.
So we, as we were cutting the chickens and stuff, before we did that, we moved the pig down, closer to the coals.
Which was another challenge, though, because then we had to stop with the chickens at times to make sure and spritz it.
Yeah. Luckily, we had, Sam was there.
Yeah, it was his graduation
party.
Yeah, he made some smoked mac and cheese.
He made some smoked mac and cheese. I heard it was to die for. I didn't get a chance to try it, but everybody was raving about it.
Yep.
So he's an up-and-coming grill master, smoke master. It was his graduation party, and he's kind of into smoking and grilling, so that was awesome. So we just said, hey, Sam, can you spritz that for us? And he did it, so... having some help there was awesome. So we had to move that pig down because we wanted to crisp up the skin quite a bit. So as we were cutting these chickens up, the pig kept going. And once we got to a point where we had all the chickens that were done cut up and in the pans, that's when we put the ones that weren't done back up on the top rotisserie, and then we took the pig off.
Yeah, we put them on right up on top. We also took advantage too, Greg, of the coals. So we used those. Sam had smoked the mac and cheese the day before, mm-hmm. and he asked about like kind of reheating it up. I'm like, well, we can toss it right in the trailer, and that's what we did with the beans.
Yeah,
just threw them right next to those coals, kind of opened the tins up just a little bit to catch a little bit of that mm-hmm. smoke in there still. And take advantage of the room you got, right?
Yeah,
so that was kind of the plan with that.
Yeah, so we put. As we were finishing up the pig, we put the beans and some of his mac and cheese right on the trailer, right next to the coals, mm-hmm. to try and heat it up. And we had the space, so why not?
Yeah, and we had the coals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still rolling. Yeah, so, we took advantage of it. So we got I'd say probably about 95% of the chickens we had done.
Yeah,
and then there was again five left that
weren't cooked all the way through, so we just threw them back on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty solid. It was, the center ones cooked great.
Yeah.
They had great color to them, man.
Oh, they were, nice golden brown. Yeah. Like kind of that you would get over an open fire, man.
Yeah, like rotisserie style mm-hmm. you can get at the grocery store, but like even better. I mean, it wasn't like cracking and the skin wasn't like that. Yeah. It was...
I know people like that real crispy skin sometimes, but like when you're doing it like that, like it's just kind of, it had a nice firmness to it, but at the same time, like it's you're not going to get something like if you deep fry it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's going to be, yeah. it's going to come off.
It's a different type of,
right? Yeah. But it was still like the color was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it still had a nice firmness to it. The meat inside was, you know, nice and juicy and tender. At least from what I was seeing when I was cutting it. I don't think we could have asked for a better kind of cook on those chickens. Cause they just looked and smelled great.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got the chickens done for, again, most of the part, but then now came the pig.
The pig, yep.
And so kind of some of the stuff that we had read was like, well, let it rest. Some said, don't let it rest. Yeah. You know, at that point we pulled it. I think we gave it 5-10 minutes.
Just let it cool down a little bit. We took the spit out of it, to let it rest a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you could go look out there and, you know, 10 different websites give you 10 different answers on what to do and what temp to cook to. So we kind of went with our gut. We knew it was done around 170 and it had been just heating there. Now we know we wanted to crisp the skin up. So we put it down by the coals. We took it off. The skin looked nice and, you know, it was brown.
You're supposed to be able to hit it.
It's supposed to be hard. So kind of like your pork rind, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So the skin looked awesome.
All the way through too.
All right?
The head all the way down to like the back of the legs and stuff.
So. Yeah. I couldn't have asked for, you know, a better cook on that. I don't think.
Seriously,
yeah.
No.
So then we started digging in and we let Sam, you know, take the first cuts. So, you know, we gave him the knives and kind of just watched him a little bit, but let him go to town.
He went right for the shoulder,
opened it up, you know, took some of those ribs out too.
Those ribs, yeah. And it, like
everything was fall off the bone.
It just was falling apart, Greg. It made it so easy to shred. It was so tender and juicy still. Like, I was like, because we had talked about, like, all right, well, you know, maybe we'll add, you know, maybe a touch of dock soda or a little bit of water and kind of season it a bit and stuff.
Because you see a lot of people do, like, when they open it up, they put like a mop sauce on or something like that.
And so we didn't do that, man. Like, it didn't need it. It really didn't need it.
Yeah, we tried. Again, you know, when you hear us talk, we kind of let the meat speak for itself. Mm-hmm. It was a fresh, you know, pig. We seasoned it. We spritzed it, you know, on the outside. You know, we think that it was nice and juicy on the inside. Didn't need any additional kind of, you know, moisture. So we just started pulling it apart and putting it in the pan. And, you know, obviously when they were serving it, they had some sauce and some rubs out there if they wanted to put it on there. But for the most part, from what I heard, was that it tasted great.
Yeah. I mean, people were coming up asking if they could just, like, you know, try the cheeks and try, like you said, try, you know, just, oh, can I just grab a piece? Like, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, as we're cutting up and shredding, you know, the inside, the good part about the skin crisping up is that you can start breaking it apart and people just come on and snack on it as an appetizer. And they just kept coming back. So that's how I knew it was really good. Like, people just kept saying how good it was.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of, like, the smoke flavor and then the Fire for Effect sweet heat rub and then the dock soda, you know, the pepper soda. So all that stuff kind of came together and people just loving it and pulling it up. And then, you started shredding it up. I kept cutting up.
Yeah.
And people kept coming up asking for the cheek because the cheek has a lot of fat in there.
A little chewier too.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good, you know, tastes almost like bacon. Yeah, like bacon fat, right?
Yep, yeah.
Some people said that, like, their parents used to do that. Like,
they used to
roast a whole hog and then their favorite part was the cheeks. So,
So brought back
some memories for some people.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then I just was chunking it up and serving it out as I was kind of continuing to chop up the hog. Mm-hmm. From that point on, it was more kind of, okay, we're ready to serve.
Sure.
And, let's start maybe cleaning up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing what else they need. But yeah, I think overall, great cook.
Yeah, heck yeah.
The pork was just falling off everywhere. You know, I mean, just, I guess, pull the bones out of there.
And it was just coming right off the bone too. I mean, the bones were just clean.
Yeah.
Like,
still juicy.
If we probably would have left it on for another, like, 15 minutes, probably would have just fallen
off the spit.
But no, it was not. I mean, it wasn't that one.
No,
it was,
yeah.
But,
I,
like,
I got you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But, God, I mean, Greg, it'll be one of those cooks, like, I just remember forever. Like, you know, I was nervous coming into it, man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
No. Good. Held it together for you. So it's all confidence,
that's what that whiskey does for you, huh?
See, stone cold sober all day. it was a good cook, man. It really was. Great day. Overall,
great day.
I
Yep.
It was a great day.
The guests were awesome. Got to interact quite a bit.
Yeah.
Overall, this is, again, when we talk about everything just kind of was working out and coming up well, was like, that was one of those cooks where it's like everything was just going perfectly. Even though we ran into some, things, we had to call some audibles throughout the day.
Sure.
Nothing set us back and kept us off track. We're like, oh man, this is terrible. Like, yep. It was just like, okay, let's just do this then.
Yeah,
and
we'll get
through it. Yeah. and that's kind of what you have to do. Yeah.
That's the fun part too, right? Yeah. Greg, it's like, it's a game, it just kind of, well, what's it going to throw at you now?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like I said, like this was way better than the first time we did a pig.
Oh, man,
so
it was night and day
difference. Yeah. So like I said, like you're never going to know until you try. So if you've never done one before, hey man, the only way you're going to learn how to do a good one is, to get out there and do your first one. So,
yeah.
definitely worth it. You know, I'll probably say like this was probably the second of many that we're going to do. So,
let's hope so.
It was good.
I hope they all go this well, Greg.
That's what you hope, Hopefully it gets a little bit easier each time,
maybe,
too.
Yeah. But no, I based on that cook, I would definitely do it again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we don't do too many private events like that, but maybe we'll have to start doing it because it went so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a fun day, man. It really was. We got lucky. The weather was awesome. Again, Greg said like the people we were there with were great.
Fantastic.
All the guests, the family that we were cooking for, and then everybody was. We really couldn't ask for a better.
Yeah,
everything worked with the butcher block. I mean, again, I can't say enough about their staff. Check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you have any questions, reach out to us. We're more than happy to tell you or give you a little bit of our insight. I don't know. That's
I mean, the one thing that hit me though when I came home, I was talking to my wife about it when I was going. And for me, and I think for you too, sometimes it's just like this is what we do, right? This is kind of like no big deal, we'll figure it out. But she's like, how impressive that is that you guys cooked a whole pig and 30 chickens and like served it to people.
It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I never stopped and thought about it that way. It's just kind of what we do.
Yeah, I thought about it a bit, man. Like it set me back. I was at a wedding the night before.
Yeah, you were and cranking it up all night long, and then you get
absolutely not. But it was a good time. That was a good time. But I had to leave a little bit early because I told him, we got a busy day tomorrow.
Yeah,
we're doing a pig and 30 chickens. And I was like, oh my god, you do that really that much food? I was like, yeah, heck yeah. You do that a lot? I'm like, no.
First time.
Here we go, though. Here we go. And I think that's the fun part, Greg. Right. Again, like you get those opportunities and you have two choices, right? And we chose to give it a shot. And I'd say, we'd definitely do it again.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Definitely got to try and embrace it. Like, we know we don't know everything.
We don't pretend to.
Right.
Either.
And we know that we have to push ourselves outside of our comfort zone if we're going to continue to grow. Like kind of in the space of barbecue and grilling. So always willing to try something new and let you all know how it goes. This was one of the ones that went real well.
It sure was.
So I'm glad we did it. And maybe we'll do it again. But who knows what we're going to do next. Like I said, I never thought I'd be doing a gator,
that's true.
Being a part of that, even though we weren't necessarily the forefront of it, but
just be there and
see it and go through that process, mm-hmm. 30 whole chickens and a pig on a rotisserie, serving a party. I never thought I'd be here. So who knows what's going to happen next. We'll just continue to share what we learn and what happens, but no, I appreciate it.
I know what's next, Greg.
Oh, you do?
I'm going whole cow.
Whole cow, okay. Whole cow stuffed with a goat. Stuffed with a pig. Okay,
with
I got
chicken
you.
Too.
Yeah, with a chicken inside.
Yeah.
That'll take like 48 hours.
No, it's like a week long.
Yeah.
Even last year, man, I kind of started a bucket list of things that I wanted to do or accomplish. And I had a pig on my list last year. And it's I never would have thought we would have done a pig and 30 chickens.
Yeah.
it just, which is cool.
Right.
It was just a great opportunity. And so I'd say if you get a chance, take advantage of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask questions. We were asking questions and doing research for months before we actually did this thing. There's no right or wrong answer. I mean, you're going to get a bunch of different answers no matter where you look. So a lot of times you just got to get out there and do it and then see what works for you. But no, it was a great cook. Thanks for setting it up, Ben. Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Anytime. Glad you were there. I couldn't do that by myself.
That
would have been rough by yourself, I think.
No, good. All right, man. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. We talked a lot about kind of what we would have, you know, what we would do next, as far as like what kind of equipment maybe we would need, and how the cook went, you know, some things that helped us. Anything else to add to kind of wrap this one up, Ben?
Yeah, I'd say like, you know, the longer you can plan and prep and advantage, like the better, right?
Yeah.
If you know, even if you don't have somebody who necessarily cooks, have somebody there who can like help you with like,
right,
you know, even just moving stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to pull a chicken off a spit.
Right.
Right. So just to kind of have like that, you know, like that teamwork.
Yeah.
Like,
it makes it a lot funner too when you got somebody
absolutely.
There. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was, you know.
More funner. Is that a?
More fun. More fun.
More fun.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. We're not English majors either.
Oh, well, so. Never know. Okay, well, no, yeah, you're definitely right. Having somebody there to help you with, like, kind of moving stuff and just having somebody there to kind of talk to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if they don't know how to do it, like, they might have different ideas for you on, like, what you're looking to accomplish. So
or even just, like, you know, anybody can grab a bottle and spritz a pig or something,
you.
So, like, kind of having that, you know, a teammate there, you know, a good buddy, spouse, whatever. I mean, whatever you got.
Get some cigars. You know, get the tunes going.
Yeah.
Just hang out and see what happens, man. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself because, you know, that's, it happens, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it absolutely happens and stuff. But that's, again, that's the fun part. And it's about learning. And like Greg said, I mean, that was a big step for us.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly a game changer with our company. Who knows?
Another sidearm Burn Pit BBQ aside from the rubs and sauces and a funny apparel that we have on the website.
There's always the possibility, right, Greg? So, you just kind of never know like what you're going to run into or who you're going to meet at these events.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Good times. Good time getting out there. So this one, I think we're wrapping it up here.
Yeah.
Got any plans coming up here to cook?
I haven't.
Thought too much. You've just been processing what happened over the weekend.
It just the main focus has been on the pig for the past couple of weeks now, especially the
week
kind of leading up to it, making sure we were set and prepped and what can go wrong, though,
right?
All that. So no, I haven't really thought too much about it yet. But I'll do something. But anyway, this week, starting Wednesday through Sunday, we will be out at Ribfest in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. So
yeah, that's July 13th. Through the 17th, I think.
Sounds right.
Yeah, so we'll be out there at Elkhorn, Wisconsin at Rib Fest. We're not cooking it at all.
Not this week.
We'll be out there as a vendor selling our rubs and sauces. You know, we'll have some stuff open if you're out there, if you want to sample some stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's always a good time, again, like these events, getting out there, meeting people that love barbecue as well, sharing what we do and some of our products. You know, we love talking, getting ideas from you all that come out there. So if you are going to be out there at Ribfest in Elkhorn, stop by our booth. I think we're going to be right by the main entrance again.
Okay.
Where you have to walk through to get to the park. So we'll be inside there. Look for us. Stop by. Say hi. If you listen to the podcast, we appreciate that. But yeah, we'll be out there. You know, looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, just come on over.
Yeah.
Just talk to us. Let us know what any kind of cooks you got coming up. And hopefully we can help you season it.
Yeah. And then another reminder, like we got our annual barbecue competition coming up. We're going to be raising money for Lift for the 22, which is a nonprofit organization that gives gym memberships to first responders, military veterans, and families like that at Explorium Brew Pub September 4th. So we want to get 20 teams out there. I think we currently have 7 or 8 teams signed up, so we're about halfway there. It's $125 right now if you sign up, and your registration includes your space, 10 by 10 space. It includes 4 racks of baby back ribs and then also, I think, 3 pounds of sausage. So you're going to cook those up. We're going to have some guest judges out there. We're going to have people coming out from the community to taste test and raise money for, you know, Lift for the 22. So if you're in the Milwaukee area or if you want to travel to the Milwaukee area September 4th, you know, go out to our website, burnpitbbq.com, and search for the barbecue competition. We'd love to see you out there. Bring a bunch of friends with you, you know, just have a good time as we raise money for an awesome veteran organization. So again, we're doing that September 4th. We'd love to see you out there, but other than that, we got a lot of other stuff going on this summer, and we're looking forward to share that more with you maybe next podcast. But anything else, Ben, before we sign off here?
Yeah, the weather's awesome, so get out and grill.
Get out and grill. Words live by.
Yeah. Take some time to get away for a bit and just enjoy a good cook, man.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, again, Ben, thanks for setting up that pig. I appreciate it. You did a lot of the work, man. And hopefully we continue to do that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, but, yeah. Happy it worked out, man.
Yeah. Me too.
What a good day, huh?
What a good day.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you all.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Bye.